don't think so. Okay, we're trying. Talk to me. Still don't have it. Isn't it great having people to understand this? Since I don't. Well, good evening. How's everybody tonight? So it's been a little while since I've stood before you and offered a lesson. If you're visiting with us, our evangelist is out of town. There's a little town called Winnemucca. What a name. Just about, 170 miles to our east. That he's out there working with the group of Christians out there today. He goes out there once a month, so I'm filling in for him at this time. So my lesson tonight is supposed to work if this thing is turned on. I'm getting there. There we go. Following Jesus. You know, so many times you hear other men say it, and I agree, you know, that so many times I preach something that really is that I need, and maybe it applies to other people. And I think this one does, but I'll kind of take it a little bit different way tonight. But, you know, we all have our struggles. You know, I've had mine in the recent past, and we all kind of deal with those. But what does it mean to you about following Jesus? If I just kind of throw that out, you know, I'm one to just kind of throw out a question, whether it be in class or up here. What does that mean to you? Following Jesus. You know, sometimes we come in contact with people, and I'm sure you have, as I have, that say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And you go, well, good. But these individuals might not attend services anywhere. They might not try to live in any way according to the precepts that we read about in Scripture. Right? Do you ever come in contact with those kind of people? Kind of all the time, right? So do they really have an understanding of what biblical belief, as I would put it, is? You know, maybe not. You know, we use a pretty well-known passage. And most of the passages, I'm going to hit a couple, or will be on the slides up here, but I'll hit a couple that aren't on here. In John 3 and verse 16, starting, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, and the things in red tonight are my interjections, so don't think that these are the words of Jesus in red, so I put that into there. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of our only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is coming to the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, and their deeds were evil. So this idea, we hear John 3:16 quoted all the time, but is it practiced the way the Bible defines what belief is? We know that it's not. Sadly, it's not. Right? But what about when it comes to following Jesus? And what kind of got me onto this is recently I was talking with an individual, and this individual says, well, yeah, I follow Jesus, but I'll just leave it at that. You know what the rest of the story is, right? Somebody who doesn't go to church, who doesn't do anything, you know, to indicate that, other people in this person's life wouldn't know that he was a follower of Jesus. Right? But we have that. Would it be as we have here? Jesus answered that, and I know I'm breaking the context. I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Here's the point. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? They follow me. And I gave eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. So this idea of following Jesus is that understood in people that we might come in contact with in our daily lives. That people, oh yeah, I follow Jesus, but do they? So open up your Bibles with me, because I got two passages I want to hit that are not on our slides. Over into the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Coming down when the Lord is directing John to write these letters to the seven churches, the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3 and verse 14, it says, "And to the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness of the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would that they were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it gives us the indication that if we're going to be religious, what does God desire? For us to be hot, on fire for God. Not lukewarm. Right? Interesting word study here. I won't get, maybe I will, get a little bit graphic. What does that mean? I know your deeds are neither cold or hot in verse 15. I would that you were cold or hot, but so because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Verse 16, as it says there, to spit out of your mouth, you might have a little footnote. It says to what? To vomit. Oh, isn't that sweet? But let's talk about that a little bit. The idea of this word, the picture that it sends to us, hang on to your stomach here a little bit. If I ingest something that is so contrary that my body cannot accept it, what happens? I vomit it out. If I'm lukewarm and God ingests me and I don't fit there at all, what does God do? He vomits me out. That's the analogy made here. Is that the situation with those people I come in contact with? Or even more pointed, is that the situation with me? Is that the situation with you? I mean, we can talk about other people, but talking about us. Talking about us. One other scripture that I don't have up on a slide. 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you remember the sin that David did with Bathsheba and that whole idea, and Nathan comes to David, you remember the story, and I'm just going to read one passage here, that Nathan comes and tells him a story about a man coming to town, all these things, and David's response was, in verse 5, David's anger burned greatly against that man. Verse 7 says, you're the guy. You're the man. So do I, when I start talking about, you know, others not having a commitment for God, having a non-biblical belief, or now as we're going to talk about tonight, that I follow God, not in the biblical way, but I follow the God the way I do. I'm the man. It's really easy to look to others and criticize them. It's really easy to see sins in other people's lives, as David did with this individual. And what happens? Nathan says, you're it. Right? So let's talk about following Jesus. What does that really look like? And what should it be in my life first, and then in yours? Not these other people that I might come in contact with, but in ourselves. Right? Now, up on the slide. In John 12, starting in verse 20, it says, now there's certain Greeks among those who were going up to Jerusalem to worship at the feast. These therefore called Philip, who was from Bethsaida and of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, and they came, and they both and they told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And we know that whole concept of the procreation and all that. And here's the point. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So this brings up another point about if I am going to follow, if I choose to follow Jesus, it's just not me being hypocritical. It's me. What does this passage say? If anyone serves me, I have to serve God. That means I can't be like those Laodiceans, kind of lukewarm. I can't be like David and pick out faults in other people but don't see them on myself. I need to serve Christ. I need to serve him and fulfill his will according to his way. Right? How many of us, and I do this, try to justify ourselves? Well, you know, I think this and I think this and I think that. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It really matters what the scriptures say. I can say it all day long. Well, you know, I don't think I really need to go out and share and witness and talk to people about God because, you know, I've been a Christian for 40 years and I'm getting old, and leave that up to the young guys. Sounds good, but it's just not correct. Are we serving God? Are we following him? Are we servants to him? And you can make that application anywhere, right? Do we make application to ourselves to where, well, you know I need to study the Bible and understand what it is, but, you know, I'll just go to Bible class and let the Bible class teacher be prepared, not me. Are we really truly serving God and following him? Are we doing it the way he wants us to do it? So let's look at an example here in Luke chapter 9. Here we have a couple different scenarios that unfold for us about following Jesus. In Luke 9, picking up our reading in verse 57, it says, "And they, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'Now notice, I will follow you wherever you go.'" So there's no indication that Jesus is walking along and says, "Come on, follow me. That's later on. He's just cruising along. This individual comes up to him and says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Notice Jesus' response. There's three different scenarios here that he brings up. Notice his response. "And Jesus said to him," what? "The foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." What does that tell us? That tells us this individual is asking not to really be a disciple. He's saying, wherever you go, wherever you're going to lodge, that's where I'll follow you. Because that's Jesus' response. Isn't it? Jesus' response was just, "Hey, I'm homeless. Why are you going to follow me?" Could Jesus have, you know, dove into his heart and understood what this guy's really asking? I think so, by his response. Right? Was this guy really, you know, according to what we're talking about, willing to follow Jesus wholeheartedly and serve him and do everything for him for the rest of his life? I don't believe so. But that's just the first scenario. Then it goes on. "And he said to another," now what happens? Now Jesus is speaking to somebody else. Right now he's asking the question. Right? He says to another, "Follow me." But he said, now this person's response was, "Permit me first to go and bury my father." Meaning what? Okay, I'll follow you. But I have another priority here first. To bury my father. Is that what it means to follow Jesus? Oh yeah, I'll follow you. As long as I can still do my own will over here. Do I do that? Yeah. I do. And Jesus says, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Here's the third one. And another also said, okay, now this person is saying something to Jesus. Right? The first one just says it, you know, I'll follow you anywhere. The second one, Jesus asked him, are you willing to follow me? Now this one what? Another one said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at my home. Once again, I'll follow you, but I have something else that I want to do. Is that really servitude? I'll follow you, but let me go, you know, tell my family I'm leaving. But Jesus says what? No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Biblically, when we say, I follow Jesus, let's make sure that we say that and we act like biblically that I'm going to follow Jesus. Let's not be like saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, but it doesn't change anything that I do. Then you're not believing according to biblical principles. If you're saying you're going to follow Jesus, it's got to be what? It's all or nothing. Isn't that right? Isn't that what Jesus is teaching us here? Here's three individuals that have a different take on what it means to follow Christ. Another interesting passage in Mark chapter 10. Pretty well-known passage. And he was setting out on a journey. A man ran up to him and knelt before him. Notice that. Knelt before him. Jesus is on a journey. This individual comes up and kneels down before him. And began asking him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Is this individual a believer? Is he a follower? What does Jesus say? Verse 18, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, notice what he says, teacher, I'm in there. That's my word, sorry. Isn't that right? Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. I'm in there. I'm good. Verse 21, looking at him, notice what he says here. First, Jesus felt love for him. There's a lesson. Did Jesus know this individual had his priorities messed up? Yeah. He did. Did he know this individual was a religious man? Yeah. Did he know this individual studied and knew the law? Yeah. Did he know this individual is probably lost? Yeah. Jesus had love for him. Just pick that up. And said to him, notice what he says, one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. All right, I'm confused. Jesus says, one thing you lack. And then he gave him two reasons. Didn't he? Go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and then what? And then come follow me. Jesus says, one thing you lack. But here's two things. Are you confused? Are they really saying the same thing? In order to follow Jesus, what's it going to be? He's going to give up his worldly possessions. In the big picture of things, you do this, you sell your possessions, give to the poor, and what? You follow me. So really what following me looks like, as I put it, is what? Putting God first in your life, even over your physical wealth. Do I have a problem with that? Yeah. You bet I do. Like I say, this is for me. Do I need to get a grip on that? Yeah. But the thing is, the ultimate thing, what he's saying, is you commit yourself to following me. And there's going to be different things that you're going to have to do to accomplish that. Isn't that right? So, where does that bring us? Luke chapter 9. Notice what it says here. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Take up his cross, what? Daily. And follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come. So what is this teaching us? As I highlighted, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. When we do that, that's following Jesus. Are we following God, God's way? I remember Ross Triplett years ago had that little saying, and I thought it was great. Doing God's work, God's way. Isn't that good? Am I living my life God's way, or am I living my life my way? Too many times I live it my way. Too many times I see the fault in other people and I don't see the fault in myself. Too many times, which scares me the most, I'm hypocritical. I say one thing and do something else. Is God going to vomit me out of his mouth? Only you can answer that. We'll use this as the invitation. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Is Christianity, is following Jesus, a daily thing? Yes. Do we worship God? Do we pray to God daily? Do we commit ourselves to God daily? Do we follow God the way that God wants to be followed? Not the way I want to be followed. Do we believe in God in a biblical sense? Do we follow God in a biblical sense? The question is left up to you. This lesson, hopefully it can apply to you, but it really applies to me. I have things in my life that I'm still working on. That I need to correct my attitude so many times and correct the things that I do. And like I say, the things that scare me so much is being hypocritical. Do I know what to do and I don't do the right thing? We probably all fall into that somewhat. So you be the judge. You judge yourself. Look as if you're on the outside looking into you as God does. Where are you in your life? Where am I in my life? Am I following God like I should? If I'm not, I need to change. If I never have, I need to change. If you're visiting with us, we do have water prepared if you choose to be baptized. If you've studied that concept to contact the blood of Christ. If you've already been baptized, we know that so many times we fall short. So many times we cannot go through it alone. And we have brothers and sisters here that are willing to help. So if you're in need in any way of the invitation, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.